The Bang Radio Hour is proud to be part of the Belly Up Sports Network. Be bold, stand out.
2015, Godsmack plays live in Seattle, Washington.
Say fuck the Pats? Okay, hold on. Wait a minute. Let's just say fuck the Pats for a second. What's your football team? The Seattle fucking Seahawks. Is that your team? Yeah, well, let me tell you something about those flukes. They have sucked big fucking dick this year. Who's fucking undefeated right now? New England Patriots are. That's right. So suck it. You started it. We're going to go undefeated this year. And you guys are not, because you can't, because you already lost a bunch of games. And you lost a bunch of games. Seattle Seahawks. And they suck big fucking dick into it. They suck big dick in 2015, yeah. Seahawks, what did you say? Big cocks? I don't think so. Maybe little cocks. Seattle Seahawks suck. Yeah! I like that song. I think I'm gonna record that as soon as I get fucking home tonight. Oh, you guys are fun. Okay, listen, let's get serious for a second here. Dude, why are you flipping me off? It's not my fault your team has lost a bunch of games. I know, they're so good. I keep supporting them. I promise you they're not even going to make the fucking playoffs. They're not even going to make the playoffs. No fucking way. They're a big fluke and they're going away today. The Seattle Seahawks suck your fucking... No, they are. I'm kidding. I was just getting into singing. I was trying to figure out some melodies. I need to change the chords, though. That's what the problem is. I don't think the problem is with the lyrics, Tony. It's with the chord progression. It's limiting me to what I can sing as a melody. All right, settle down, you freaks. I'm just kidding. Let's get back to reality here. This isn't a football game.
Check for sound. Check for power.
Systems
Wait, what?
The Cleveland Browns are on the clock.
We're called Cleveland for a reason. Go Browns!
Hello, Cleveland!
We on fire! Step up in the party, step up in the party, ha!
Now we went to being a laughingstock, like getting teased like usual.
I'm sorry, but it's the truth.
What are you talking about?
Welcome to the Bang Radio Hour.
It's a great day to be a big old cut.
And now, here's John and Tom.
Preaching to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the gospel.
We stink.
This is a comedian, Chris Hopkins, longtime fan of the Bang Cartoon Radio Hour. You can catch me at the Laughing Skull in Atlanta and at the Comedy Catch in Chattanooga, Tennessee in June. I'll be in Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas in July selling the Dallas Cowboy weed and bribing girls with X-Pills to show Zeke Elliott their tits. Now let's see if I can throw it to Tom and John without throwing pick six like Andy Dalton.
Yeah!
How about that?
Hey man, we got a stand-up comedian fan. That is the official stand-up comedian of the Bang Radio Hour, Chris Hopkins.
The official stand-up comedian.
This guy. That's right.
Right here.
Yes. That's right. The official stand-up comedian. Chris is over on our Facebook page too, man. And I do recommend you go check him out. He sent me some videos of his performances. He's got a good sense of when to say exactly what he's not supposed to. The people
yes.
shouldn't say it.
Yes. And I understand.
So that's good.
I understand he gives us a little bit of credit for that.
That's what he says.
Yeah.
He says he was your intern years ago at the Blitz.
How about that?
And yeah, he says if it wasn't for us, he'd have never gotten late and he wouldn't be a stand-up comedian.
He really said the first part, too?
No,
I didn't think so.
I figured I'd take the chance. Why not? See, I got to try here. I got to do something different, Tom.
Good job, Chris. Keep it going, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I gotta say shit like that because I've got to break back out of normalcy, I guess. I've been working in a real office with real people, and I've been quiet for the last month and a half, and I've forgotten how to fucking talk, so I have to remember how to say outrageous things.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are in trouble.
I doubt that. What we are is in June. What a fucking lousy off-season so far.
Oh, my God. It is. Well, I don't know. I got some good stuff here. All right. I'm Tom. He's John. It's Bang Radio Hour number 354. And first, I did want to say, you know, the whole big thing in the offseason, one of the big things anyway, was the whole new pass interference replay, all that. Well, that has only been approved for one season. It's not like it's been written into contract for years. They're going to give it a try. We'll see what happens.
I've already predicted what's going to happen.
Yeah, I know.
As soon as it happens and nobody gets their way, they're going to scream about the holding that got missed and the illegal contact that was over there on the other side of the field. And, oh, look at this dude. He twitched a little bit. It's never going to end.
Never.
Nope. We're going to get up. I'm telling you, the Super Bowl 63 is going to be two guys standing there playing rock, paper, scissors.
All right. Another thing that's being discussed is marijuana.
What? You don't say.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's been an issue. You know, you look at people like Josh Gordon, Ricky Williams, right. This goes on and right. on. People cannot, you know, they can't stay off the weed, John.
That's what they say anyway. Frankly, I don't see where either one of them actually has a problem.
Stay off the weed.
Right. Exactly. Right.
Yeah, take this Xanax instead. Enjoy this Subox instead.
So former NFL defensive end Chris Long, this is Howie's son.
Yep.
You know, he was on the Dan Patrick show, and he says that he used marijuana regularly, like just anytime, all the time, whenever he wanted, he used it.
Color me shocked.
I know.
Look at the shock on my face. Oh, my goodness. People smoke pot.
And he said, like it or not, he did that along with over half the league. So,
you know, you got to roll a fat joint if you're going to be passing around with half the league.
Well, that's a lot of people, yeah. But here he is. Here he is on the Dan Patrick show talking about it.
I'm also curious. You've been out in front of medical marijuana for use by football players. I can't help but think of Ricky Williams if he was playing in today's game, Chris, because back then he just said, look, I want to have marijuana. I need it.
I want to have marijuana. Gosh darn it. I want to have it.
I want to have marijuana. Put it in my contract. I would like some marijuana.
Now, please. We're looking at allowing players to do it.
Well, we should be headed to a place where we allow players to enjoy what I would, you know, not even call a drug. You know, it's far less dangerous than guzzling a fist of alcohol and going out after a game. Chances are the player won't even make it to the club to do this sort of thing that we all kind of wag our finger at when we...
When he goes out and he gets in the car, nah, I'm going back in and watch Game of Thrones.
Right. You know, I do get so sick and tired that whenever this little discussion comes up, we have to talk about how it's safer than alcohol.
Listen, I know.
If you still think that the other way, you are a fucking idiot and there's nothing that can help you.
Right.
We don't need to keep making this fucking argument. Everybody who's ever drank anything knows.
Yeah, exactly.
The only way they don't is if they've never smoked anything.
When we hear about a guy getting in a fight or DUI, we're never going to read about him sitting on the couch and binge watching Game of Thrones again.
Right,
so
it is.
I think from a standpoint of what's safer for people and the player, you know, it is far less harmful than alcohol. It is far less harmful than tobacco. You know, I'm not a dry snitch. I'm not going to put a percentage on how much the league smokes, but I certainly enjoyed my fair share on a regular basis through my career. And I was never afraid to say that. You know, a lot of guys get a lot of pain management out of it.
But what about testing, though, Chris?
Oh, this is the best. Okay, so this is where I come back to how much he does it and how much so many other players in the league do it, yet guys get suspended because they fail these tests, and this is the best part. Because this goes back to that Chris Mortensen line that we had years ago. So here it is.
Right.
I think the testing is arbitrary. Testing players once a year for street drugs, which is a terrible classification for, you know, marijuana, is kind of silly because players know when the test is. We can stop. And in that month or two that you stop, you're going to reach for the sleeping pills. You're going to reach for the painkiller. Wow. You're going to reach for, right, you know, the bottle a little bit more. On the weekend, you're going to have a few more drinks, and a few turns into a few too many. And it's just not, yep, the same. And if you're serious about players not smoking, you know, you'd be testing more often. I hope they go the opposite direction and just kind of realize how arbitrary doing that one test a year is.
Right. Not only is it arbitrary, but it's kind of like them just winking and nodding and looking the other way. But if you're going to wink and nod and look the other way, then just stop looking for it anyway. Which I guess that means that when we read about all these players being tested the second they come off the field, right? Josh Norman got tested when he came off the field a lot. Remember we had that thing about Josh Norman? They tested him at his grandma's picnic and shit. They showed up and made him go behind a tree.
He was running the grill.
Right. Yeah. They made him go behind a tree. What are they testing for there then? I guess just performance enhancers, or what? None of it makes any sense to me. The only thing that's in danger of anybody smoking a joint after work to chill out is a bag of Chips Ahoy.
You can smoke marijuana 11 months out of the year as long as you don't test positive at that training camp test.
Right. Right. You know.
So the gist of it is you have to have the ability to stop, you know, for a month to a month and a half before training camp. You have to have that ability to not smoke for those 5-6 weeks.
They're weeding out the stupid. You got a real problem, buddy.
Yeah, so Chris Long got to play, never got suspended. Josh Gordon can't stay on the field for 5 games. I mean...
Right. Well, but he's taking himself out now. What the hell is up with that? He honestly thinks he's got a psychological problem.
Well, okay, so here's the thing. Again, if you do fail that training camp test, that you only have to take once a year, and you do happen to fail that, well, now you're in the testing program. Now you can get tested up to 10 times per month, like, you know, Norman, he at his grandma's picnic, running the grill, they show up, got to pee in his cup.
I don't remember him ever getting busted for weed, though.
Well, because... Mm-hmm. The first offense, you never hear about it. You don't hear
about
it.
That's right. That's right.
You don't hear about it till they get suspended. Then it just says for the NFL substance abuse policy. They never, ever, ever give you details. Ever.
You know, all of this comes down because the pharmaceutical companies would rather them take fucking OxyContin.
Yeah, I know. And you want to talk about something being worse. Holy crap. Yeah. I don't know.
Addicts worth money, buddy.
Personally, I have no idea how good marijuana is for real pain. I mean, like legitimate, like you have something wrong inside, physical pain. I don't know that, you know, maybe it does help some people with that.
I can't offer any scientific evidence, but about a half an hour ago, I stubbed my toe, and right about now, it feels all right. So, there's that.
I believe they want to say, yeah, it's okay. I think with the NFL, they're kind of... in this situation where their league is nationwide, but not every state has legalized it yet. So,
right.
You know what I mean? I think, I think what the NFL is waiting on is for it to become federally legal. I think if it's legalized federally, then they will follow suit, because right now,
well, there's all kinds of problems. If they're crossing state lines, certain states, they could get arrested in one city and not in another.
You know, because if you have if you've been prescribed a medicinal marijuana card in a state where it's medically legal and you can now go buy it, you are not allowed to own a gun. You have lost your right to own a gun.
That's right.
Because it is federally a Schedule I drug and it's illegal. So, yeah. So there are issues with that. And I think that's probably where the NFL is right now with that, waiting for it to become federally legal. I don't know how long that's going to take.
I'll tell you what, though. I can go buy as much whiskey as I want and own as many guns as I fucking want.
Which is crazy. I can be a drop-dead drunk drinking from the time I wake up.
Angry drunk.
All day, every day, till I go to bed, and I can buy all the guns I want. It's unbelievable.
Right. Have you ever heard the term angry pot smoker? Have you ever heard that term?
No.
This guy gets all pissy when he's high. No. Certain liquors, man. I'll tell you what, I can tell the difference. If I'm drinking wine, I have a much fucking smoother buzz than if I'm drinking whiskey. I get a lot edgier. Not necessarily edgy like as in, hey, listen how funny that guy is, and hey, man, don't get that close to me.
Well, Roger Goodell did say they are studying the role of weed as a pain management tool, and I believe that's him saying, we're just waiting on the damn federal government to say, yeah, go ahead, it's okay. And, you know, Trump said he was going to do that, and I'm waiting. We'll see.
You know, well, we'll see.
He did say he was going to.
They should study how cool it makes certain video games. That's what they should do. Hey, wow, this really makes this game fun.
Why do you think Tetris really became one of the biggest games of all time? I mean, come on, folks.
No, it was the theme music. Clearly the music.
Right. All right. So let's see here. We got so much coming up.
Didn't I read that Goodell is going to try to do a bit of a fucking investigation retroactively based on what Chris Long said?
And do what? Like, I mean, Chris
I,
Long
I guess,
is,
I don't know. I guess try to find, I don't know what he could do, maybe. But, you know, it's Goodell. He could, like, find the Eagles or you know, take away a draft pick or something. Your guy was smoking pot 3 years ago.
He retired, so.
I guess. You never know, man. Goodell is all God. He's all powerful.
He might want to show you, you know.
That's right. We're going to teach you for smoking pot 3 years ago.
Ball God.
No.
Ball God.
All right. We are going to talk about Game of Thrones. I know that this final season started out with worldwide 1 billion people watched. Do you know that?
Right.
Worldwide, this final season started. Nobody wanted to wait. That first episode, 1 billion people worldwide watched. So we know we have listeners that watched.
And 42% of them complained about it on social media.
That's all? I could have said it had to be a higher
42%
number.
42% of the billion, yeah.
Jesus Christ. So if you know, you may be in the middle of binge watching it, because that's how I did it. So it'll be the last thing we talk about at the end of the show, so you can listen to the whole show without having anything spoiled if you have not yet watched all of Game of Thrones.
No.
So.
I have a rule. The show is started 8 years ago. If you're not finished with it now, and we talk about it now after it's been done for 3 months, shut up. Just shut up. I don't want to hear it.
Okay, well, I would like to, if the, you know, maybe some people came. Look, I didn't see the finale live when it happened. I didn't see it till like 3 weeks later.
Oh, that's 3 weeks. That's different. We would have definitely given you a spoiler alert then, because a lot of people did right after it was over, binge right through it. But now it's been 3.5 months since it's been over. If you haven't heard it by, if you haven't watched it
three
by
and now, a half months? What are you talking about? It's been 3.5 months.
I get lost on time. What has it been about? It's been at least 2 months. It's
been like 3 weeks since the thing ended.
No way. Are you crazy? 3 weeks?
Yeah.
When was the last episode of Game of Thrones? All right, move on with the show, but I'm going to find out this thing.
I was in like season 4 or 5 back over. I remember talking about it on Mother's Day weekend. It was like the end of May it finished.
May 19th. So that's been 4 weeks.
It's been a month. Yeah, you said 3.5 months. I'm like, what are you talking about?
It's been 5 years, Tom.
All right. But you know what? Somebody might have just gotten talked into it. I just wanted to let them know. My, you're so mean sometimes. Fuck you. I'm going to spoil this for you. God damn it. You're going to have this spoiled whether you want it or not.
I always say, Tom, if we run the class to the level of the stupidest guy, we're never going to get anywhere.
All right. Anyway, we will get into it coming up because I want to get your thoughts on a couple things. Let's see. Oh, I did want to mention, I read this about Matthew Stafford. Apparently, last year, he was really hurt, and we had no idea.
Apparently, it was a broken back.
Yeah, I could not believe that, man. I mean, literally had broken bones in his back.
I've seen the headlines. I haven't actually read it. Who let him play like that?
Well, I don't know if they, maybe they never really x-rayed him or something, never found it till after the season. I mean, we all heard it happen.
Oh!
Yeah. It sounds like a couple of cowboys.
So I gotta cut him a little slack, I guess. He's broke back.
He is. He's broke back. And I gotta say, I think that there's no way in hell that they can go through a football season without taking a look at him with an x-ray machine at least once. There's no way they didn't know this. There's no way they can go, say, your spine's cracked, like 5 months later.
I broke my back.
What do you mean by that? You
my
broke
back?
Back
is broken.
What, a vertebrae or well, what portion?
Spinal.
Spinal, John. It's spinal.
It's spinal. I'm trying to lead the Lions down the field for a first down, and I broke my back.
Oh, my gosh.
I got to get my mouth wide open for that. Ah, sorry. I'm not awake yet. This is one of those rare morning shows that we do.
Yeah. Let's see. Okay, so, you know, everything's flying in Cleveland. They're all excited up in Cleveland.
That way your arms are flailing. People are calling 911.
Right. Because they got Odell Beckham.
That's right. All right. So, yeah, everybody's all over the top in Cleveland.
Boy, relax, you talk people. About somebody who is all in with the Browns. That is Odell Beckham Jr., man. He called him, quote, he called it, this is what he called him, John, quote, the new Patriots.
Oh, the new Patriots.
The new Patriots. That's he said Baker Mayfield is, quote, the next Brett Favre, a Hall of Famer.
He knows that Brett Favre never played for the Patriots, right?
I don't know why he said Brett Favre.
Hey, let me get you started on the Vicodin here, son. You got to get your addiction done and over with by year six.
He told GQ Magazine, I plan on being there for the next 5 years and bringing as many championships there as possible, turning the Browns into the new Patriots.
The new Patriots. He told GQ Magazine, you know, I don't give a damn that I'm supposed to be in minicamp. I'd rather talk to you right now. So go ahead. Don't worry about it. I'll learn the offense on the fly.
Browns haven't won a playoff game in 24 years. Just 8 months ago, they ended a stretch of 635 days without a single win, but now they're the new Patriots.
Hey, they kept the Steelers out of the playoffs. That's worth celebrating. That's worth celebrating in Cleveland.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Yeah, they're going, well, you know, everybody knows, Tom, that a brand new head coach and a bunch of free agents always spells success.
Well, based on what they did the second half of last season, I get it. I understand. You know,
I do too.
And they got
I make
better.
Fun.
They got better. I outside of my own team, my own Cowboys, I'm probably most excited to watch the Browns to start the season anyway.
I'm ready to watch the Chiefs. I think they worked on their defense. Yeah, the Chiefs. I think I like the Chiefs this year. But that we're way early on something like that. The Browns, you know, I make fun by saying something like that, like it's just doomed for failure. And it's not. I just think that their expectations are going to be way high. And they're not really factoring in the fact that it is a brand new head coach. Freddie Kitchens never been a head coach before. This is Baker Mayfield's sophomore year. And a sophomore slump is a real thing, man. Don't
right.
don't doubt it. Remember Cam Newton in his sophomore year? Everybody thought he couldn't play.
Yeah.
So, you know, these things happen. Then they have diva wide receivers. I don't give a shit if those two went to college together. Now there's millions of dollars on the line. There's a lot different going on. They're grown people. They're different. So, you know, Odell already didn't show up for minicamp. He thinks he's going to learn a new offense just like that.
He did finally show up. He came. He was at mandatory minicamp.
Yeah, he did. But the you know, the other thing that I see here is they've got a ton of talent, and there's only one ball, right? You've heard that before.
Yeah, but, you know, look at the Chiefs. I mean, come on.
It's not like what they have there in Cleveland. In Cleveland, at every position, you've got guys that are Pro Bowl caliber. At least on
right?
paper.
Exactly.
You know, Landry,
okay.
OBJ,
look,
you got Kareem
hold
Hunt,
on.
You got Chubb.
Stop. I can't live in this world. You can't. I can't.
I know. It's all fucked up, man. What did Trump do?
No, you can't tell me, oh, this team doesn't have any players. They suck. Oh, this team's got all Pro Bowlers. They suck. I can't know. No.
It's clearly, this conversation has gone past you. It's not a combination of just having Pro Bowlers. Egos can clash, and you have heard before. We've seen dream teams fail all the time, right? We hear it all the time, right? Didn't the Eagles have a dream team? They were calling themselves dream team, and it just there's not enough balls to go along.
Oh, that's the biggest load of crap I've ever heard in my life. These guys are all professional NFL players making millions of dollars. No, they're all going to get their ball. They're all going to get the ball. Come on.
Okay. I'm telling you. Yeah. We've never seen Odell Beckham cry or whine because he's not getting the ball like he thinks. What was it? Just last year he was saying about the Giants, I work too hard for this. Eli can't throw the ball. I work too hard for this.
Well, he was right. He's right.
Okay, but he said it. That's the point. What if Mayfield has a sophomore slump and Kitchens can't coach as well as everybody thinks he might be able to?
Then they're going
to
suck.
Maybe. There's all kinds of possibilities. There's rocks in the road there, Tom.
Okay. I didn't pick him to go to the Super Bowl. I just said I'm excited to watch him. All right.
Yeah. It's going to be fun no matter what. That's for sure. Because if Odell Beckham doesn't get his way, he goes over and punches equipment on the sideline.
No, I think you got to pick your poison. They've got, like you said, a lot of weapons. So one of those weapons is Kareem Hunt, who won't get to play the first half of the season. Obviously, he was suspended when he was with the Chiefs. They just straight out cut him, and the Browns went, yeah, we'll take him. Okay.
Yeah.
You know,
hey,
he's
right.
Young
Jones
stud.
Gets a pass, right?
He's going to be a great weapon in that offense once he gets on the field midseason. But meantime, he's got to keep busy, John, so they're sending him out to talk to high school kids.
Great. So the lesson you learn here is look around for the cameras before you take somebody down.
why we study school. That's why we go to grades, to make good grades.
Right, exactly.
Right. You know, we had that whole thing last year about the, you know, this is the amusing part meant to make you laugh, and I'm going to stick with that. But the fact of the matter is, I really don't know what happened in that situation other than what I see on video, which is bad. But, you know, there's things that she could have said that I've heard she said.
Well, she was coming at him physically. They were, you know what?
Right.
And this is the problem when people get drunk. Oh, there it is again. If they were just high, they'd have been sitting there giggling, eating Fritos, not, fighting with each other.
Right.
So anyway,
and the punches are nowhere nearly as accurate. kind of slap each other. Hey, you stop it.
Here's Kareem Hunt talking about going out and talking to these high school kids.
I've been going to schools, talking to high school kids, and just telling them like, you guys, you got to make smart decisions. I done made mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes, and you just got to make best decision for you.
Kareem, why are you doing that?
Just to, go out there and let them know how important it is, and just tell them, because I didn't really have anybody to come talk to me when I was in high school, or somebody to look up to.
And so that's why I beat up a girl? Because nobody came and told me I shouldn't? Is that what he just said?
Dude worked his ass off and got all the way to the NFL and then did that. And what, he needed somebody in high school to talk to him? So it sounds to me like he had a pretty good drive. It sounds to me, Tom, like he's not even in the high school. He's just kind of like hanging around the corner as they're walking by. Hey, kids, you should not mess up. Don't be hitting anybody.
Honestly, better they send him than Jameis Winston. Remember Winston?
A lot of boys don't supposed to be soft-spoken. But the ladies, they supposed to be silent.
Yeah, girls, shut up.
Right.
That's what.
Right, see, now this is the NFL being proactive, Tom. You teach them when they're young. That way you don't have any problems when you're superstars. They don't get out of line. Nobody has to get caught on video clocking one. Oh, God. Now this is the amusing part meant to make you laugh.
Right.
God damn it.
Oh, my God. All right. Back to Odell, or rather the lack of Odell, and I'm talking about in New York now. They don't have Odell.
I'll take other women I'd like to hit for 500, Tom.
Eli up there taking Daniel Jones under his wing, and I don't know, does Eli look at him and say, we don't have anybody to throw to, but this is how you do it.
Yeah, you just do your best. Just try your best.
Oh my gosh, the cartoon when Eli takes Daniel. It's like Andy Griffith Show. It's Andy and Opie, and they go down to fish, and there's the bass is in the water with the New York Giants helmet on, ready to catch the bait, and he throws it, and the eagle swoops in and intercepts it. I was gone. I was dying. That was the best.
Well, hopefully by the end of the summer, I'll be able to get back to making a couple of them. I've been so busy lately.
Hey, we got three already this offseason. I'm not complaining.
Okay, that sounds good to me.
If you guys didn't know, the cartoons are back over on our YouTube channel.
Yeah, look up Bang Cartoon on YouTube, and you'll find them. You'll find all the old ones, too, or you'll find a lot of the old ones, too.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. You know what, John and I were talking about this again. In this new world that we live in, we actually had to leave a few cartoons out. Couldn't put them up.
Yeah, that's
terrible.
True.
There's terrible
two of them thing. That are not up there. You all can guess as to which ones aren't up there, and then you can write to me and tell me that we demand to have all that, and I can hold it up in front of Congress when they haul my ass up there and say, why are you putting up offensive material?
Wait a minute.
I've got permission.
Wait a minute. Congress can't get involved in this, right?
I don't know. You never know what those fuckers are going to do. I know what they're not going to do. Anything right.
Anything right, yeah.
Anything. Seems like anything.
So Eli and Daniel Jones, they've been working together. They're all buddy-buddy. Like I said, I think that's why they drafted him, because the Mannings and the Jones families are friends, and so everything.
They're both on a freaking raft in bare feet with jeans that are cut up halfway to their knee with a pole going down the middle of the Mississippi River.
Oh, is this Huckleberry Finn? Is that what's going on here?
That's right.
Tom Sawyer?
Come on, fella. We're going to go fishing.
Well, Pat Shurmur says they're just working together, John. It's all going smooth and well.
Personality-wise, I would say in some ways they're similar. As we get to know Daniel Jones and his personality more, they're very calm in their approach, but they're very fiery under the covers, and I think that's the... I don't think you want to...
I couldn't believe that some of the reporters in the room started laughing when he said that. I couldn't believe it. They're very fiery under the covers.
That tickles. Why don't you go ahead and do that again?
Oh, my God.
Let me show you here how that I can... You know, down in Dallas, they have all them, they call themselves the hot boys. We get under a pile, they start doing like this, and like this, and like this.
They're very fiery under the covers, and I think...
Oh, Daniel, you're so young and smooth. You think Eli's? What do you think Eli's O face looks like? We've seen his Eli face a million different ways. What do you think his O face looks like?
I don't even want to think about that, John. Come on.
You did, and that's the best part. I don't have to say anything else. And all of the rest of you out there hearing that just thought what his fucking O face might look like. So yay.
I don't know. His face just always to me looks like he's taking a dump. Almost always.
I like when he looks terrified and completely confused.
What the hell? How'd that, where'd that come from?
All right, so let's move up to New York and the Jets. All right. Oh, Jets fans are going, oh, they're going to talk about the Jets. Oh, my gosh.
Talk about the Jets. The better team in New York. That's right. That's right. We're going to talk about the team in New York that matters.
Well, they do have Le'Veon Bell. I don't know how good he's going to be this year, but they do have him. But I want to talk about the coach, Adam Gase. This was like after the draft. We did the last show we did, and I'm sorry it's been so long. We were trying to do one a month, and we missed a month. Well, we did do it in May, and now we are doing it in June. So I guess technically we're hitting each month. So
right. But just almost missed April, but that's
right,
okay.
Right. All right. So Adam Gase after the draft was grilled by the media on several things. And I'm like, man, the dude, I got to give him credit for he stood his ground through all of this and he never wavered.
Right.
So first off, you had they fired what's his name? Mike, was it
McGonagall?
Okay, now you sound like one of the aliens.
No, that's that guy that was doing the freaking call last year, the Spanish call of whichever play that was. I can't remember. I can't remember what he was.
Yeah, and it sounded like the Mars Attacks dude.
right. Yeah.
But so he got, you know, they say he got blamed for being the reason that the GM got fired. Did you know that?
Yeah. Well, yeah, they said that he didn't like, he had a power struggle. He didn't like the moves that the guy had made. They had argued over a couple of them, and the dude went behind his back and did them anyway, so Gase fired him.
Yeah, there was belief that Gase stabbed Mike in the back. That's what it was. And so a reporter's going to ask him about it.
What do you make of the widespread belief that you stabbed Mike in the back?
Yeah, that would be false. That's just not true. Christopher made a decision.
Is it fair to say that you did not support Mike?
Support in what way? He called me and told me that he was doing it.
Did you discuss?
Prior to that, it was more conversations about some of the things that we've done in the past. And majority of the time, me and Mike were always on the same page. But you have disagreements. There's always going to be disagreements in this profession as far as player personnel wise. But at the end of the day, he had the final decision. I mean, that was his right.
So he's saying, you know, most time I agreed with him, that was on Chris. That was their decision. Then they ask him that if the next GM, if it's going to be handpicked by him, which is funny when you think about that. The reporter's asking the head coach if he's going to handpick the next GM and that he's just going to go out and get himself a yes man.
Adam, what do you say to the notion that people perceive this as you're going to be picking the next GM, that this person is just going to be your yes man?
I don't know. I don't really hang out with yes men. So if it's somebody that I already know, then it's probably somebody that's not going to be a yes man.
Why not? What do you mean? Why would that be?
Because I don't associate myself with people like that. Whoever the GM is, they'll have final say on the roster. So if there's ever a disagreement, our job is to hash it out. But at the end of the day, they have the final say.
All right. There's two things I take away from this. If I'm in the office and he says, hey, you want to go grab some lunch? I have to say no. Because if I say yes, he's going to fire me. And two, he apparently, longtime Bang Radio Hour listener Yisman has pissed him off somehow, and he will not associate with him anyway.
You know, Yisman.
No, Yisman. Although he'd do pretty good, I think, hiring Yisman.
Yeah, probably.
Shit, for all we know, Yisman is a fucking general manager. I don't know.
But you know, it's funny. You said, I can't say yes to him or he'll fire me. The head coach will fire the GM. No, I don't think
that's
so.
That's right.
I don't think so.
Just me. I'm, you know, John the copy boy standing around the office. Hey, you want to go get some coffee? Yes.
You're fired.
Now they're going to go the other way. You know, they just asked him about him being able to handpick the GM, and it's just going to be a yes man. But then they're going to go back to the draft and like talk about how he had no input on the draft, and they wanted to know if he was frustrated about the pre-draft process.
Why were you frustrated by your lack of involvement in the pre-draft process?
I did the same thing I always do. I wasn't frustrated by anything.
You didn't feel like you were excluded from important meetings or anything?
No. Did I ever say that?
No, I mean, it just had been reported. So
that doesn't mean it's true. Reported from somebody else's perspective. I did the exact same thing I did in Miami. Everything was the same. That's their baby. That's personnel guys. That's their thing. I'm there to help. That's I did. I nothing was different that I did this year compared to any year before that.
But the way the question began, he says, "Why were you frustrated over the your lack of involvement in the pre-draft process?"
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "I wasn't frustrated." I love the way that like he asked him that question like it was a fact, and he said, "Did I ever say that?" And he's like, "What was reported?"
He's saying well, it, from somebody's again, perspective. I liked how he put that.
Yeah.
It's like, true.
What? These guys are unbelievable.
He said, I do the same thing I do every year.
Right.
Which is to plot how to take the general manager's heart out through the back of his spine. And then he leaned over and made a note. Talk to Gregica Williams. That's right. They've got the psychotic in the building too, Tom. Gregica, he's down there waiting for the order from Adam Gase.
Okay. And now again, here they're going to ask about him being upset about overpaying for C.J. Mosley.
Adam, I think C.J. Mosley was also grouped out of the bell in terms of allegedly players you thought the Jets overpaid for. C.J., I think, has been here.
I mean, that's what somebody else said. Those words never came out of my mouth.
Again!
I just told you. Those words never came out of my mouth. So we did everything we could to get him. I think I took a pay cut. So, I mean, whatever we had to do to get him, that's what we wanted to do.
I think I took a pay cut.
I never said we overpaid him. I said we gave him a lot too much cash, but I never said we overpaid him. Those words never came out of my mouth. Okay. Holy fuck, that's a lot of money. I said that. Are you fucking kidding me? Fire whoever was responsible for this bullshit. I said that.
I will say she did say the word allegedly. I will say that she did. The reporter did use the word allegedly about him feeling they overpaid. But now, same deal with Le'Veon Bell's contract.
We signed him. I'm excited we have him. I've been in constant communication with him. And whether or not we disagreed on anything, if it was financially, that's a completely different story than the person or the player. He's been great with me as far as contact goes, making sure that I know what he's doing, where he's working out at. He does a lot of different things as far as who he's working with.
There he did not deny that he maybe thought they overpaid Bell.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he's happy to have him.
Well, I guess he's got to say that.
Well, I think he is. I mean, you know, you would think you would be. Of course, you haven't seen him on the field yet, but in your mind, from remembering seeing him, you're probably thinking, yeah, we got a hell of a running back, you know.
Well, I'm thinking so, but I also think I never heard really a coach ever say anything like, fuck no, I don't want this guy. No way.
Well, that's true.
Even if that's how he feels.
Until they were gone, anyway.
Well, even then, like we've said before, it's a small fraternity. Listen to him talking about stabbing McCack in the neck in the back there, and he's telling everybody that, no, I never said anything like that.
Okay, this is my favorite one. This is now this reporter, she's going to ask him about, you know, is he worried that the fans don't believe in him or don't trust him as the head coach.
There's a little bit of a trust issue that you have with the fans now because they're not sure if they can really believe it.
Yeah, I think our fans care if we win or lose.
But is it important to you?
If we win, win games, nobody's going to remember this. I know that. Well, our job is to win. Our job is to win.
Exactly.
That's it.
She's like, well, aren't you concerned that the fans don't trust you? And he's like, if we win, they won't. You know, it's like the Eagle fan. EDP. So EDP, big Eagles fan, when they hired Doug Peterson.
Doug fucking Peterson!
He was so angry, right? Remember?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
We were laughing our heads off.
Oh my God.
Fuck the Philadelphia fucking Eagles!
Oh, he was furious that they hired. Do you think after they won the Super Bowl, he gave a shit or a thought about that? Nothing. No way. Winning cures everything. Winning cures everything.
That's right. It's just the way it is, being a fan. I can't stand when people talk about fan hypocrisy. You know, oh, last year you thought they sucked. Well, this year you think they're great. Well, this year they're 10-6. Last year they were 5-11. What the fuck do you want?
I want to talk about Le'Veon Bell while we're on the Jets. That's what I want to talk about.
Right.
All right. So a few weeks back, you know, Le'Veon Bell was a Steelers running back. Now with the Jets, he got robbed by two women.
Social media superstar, I might add.
Yes. Two women robbed him of over $500,000 worth of jewelry.
It's his own goddamn fault.
It is. Yes, it is.
I have no sympathy for him.
So last week, TMZ, which has become one of the most trusted news outlets on the planet. Do you know that?
That's right. They're quick with the freaking scoops.
Man, they break news like, I mean, do you remember they were the first ones that told us Michael Jackson was dead?
Yep. I can remember, I think last week they caught Donald Trump coming out of a 7-Eleven. What have you bought there, Donald?
Well, I've got some Chex Mix. We're going to have a little party tonight, watch Fox.
Who's coming tonight?
You know, the usuals.
We're going to have a little party and watch Fox. That's great.
All right. Gotta find out what Hannity wants me to say tomorrow.
All right. So TMZ puts out the 911 call that was made by Le'Veon Bell. He lives in Hollywood, Florida. And Bell, you know, he talks about how he left his house to leave for his daily workout. And he left two women in his bed. And when he returned, he was missing stuff. And here it is.
911, what's the address of the emergency?
Hollywood, Florida.
Oh, okay. Tell me exactly what happened.
Oh, Hollywood, Florida. Sorry.
Well, I had two girls in my house, and I got up, did my normal routine to go work out. So I left the workout for a couple hours. When I came back, they took my money. They took my watch, my jewelry, a couple more things of value out of my house. And I don't know where they're at. I tried to call them before I called you guys. I tried to call them and... And they're not answering me and they're ignoring me.
Of course.
When did this happen?
This happened today.
I tried to call him.
What was she wearing today?
Okay. She wants to know what the girls were wearing. This is the best part. This is the best part of the whole goddamn call right here. She wants to know what the girls were wearing.
I mean, when I left, she was in the bed. She was in the bed not wearing clothes when she left. So I didn't see her. But she, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay. And the other one, you said she looked more Hispanic. Is that correct?
Like, she looked more like, if anything, like, white or Hispanic, yes.
Okay. How old is she?
She's 21.
21.
And what was she seen last seen wearing today?
The same way. She was in the bed, too. They didn't have clothes.
Okay, what is the total?
Money in my jewelry.
What is the total estimated value of the items?
Oh, like... $1 million.
Oh my God! Oh, what were the girls wearing? I don't know. They were naked the last time I saw them.
We've got an all points bulletin out for two naked females, one possibly white or Hispanic. Please be on the lookout.
And one, she's 21. What are their names? I don't know.
Running down the street with $1 million worth of men's jewelry. I like when he says, I tried to call him before I called. What's he going to say? Hey, where y'all at with all my shit?
Right.
What y'all do? Did y'all go out to breakfast or something?
Like, they didn't answer the phone. Duh.
Yeah, you know, maybe they was in the shower. I don't know. Oh, my God.
I'm wondering if he knew the girls before the night before or if they were, you know, prostitutes or what the deal was. I don't know. I'm just, you know.
I don't know, but.
Man,
how stupid are you going to get?
Well, I mean, look, if they were prostitutes, you are an idiot beyond an idiot. If you're going to bring home two prostitutes, two wholesome, wonderful girls like that and expect them to just be honest and not do anything wrong.
Well, she's 21. How old is he?
Oh,
27?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, so how long could he have possibly known this girl?
Well,
A couple years since she's been 18? What's he doing hanging out with high school girls when he's 25?
Right? Well, that's right.
Just simple
right.
math. He couldn't have known her all that well. And even if it doesn't matter. Don't be so stupid.
I know, but I don't know how old the other girl was. Maybe it was a friend of hers and said, hey, I'll bring my friend over. And, you know, they stay. I'm sure the whole thing was a setup from the beginning with these girls.
Probably from the first time they ever laid eyes on
him. Yeah, maybe.
Hey, look, that one's covered in jewelry. What do you think he's worth there? Maybe $500,000 hanging off of him right now.
Well, a police report showed that Bell reported the jewelry, $22,600 in cash, aside from the jewelry. That's why you don't keep that kind of money laying around unless you have a safe.
Well, you got to have tips for pizza guys and shit like that.
The jewelry was described as two gold Cuban link chains with diamonds, a gold chain with a Black Panther pendant that contains black and white diamonds, a rose gold Rolex presidential watch, and a two-tone rose gold and white gold Cuban link bracelet. The value of just the jewelry was listed at $520,000, so about $550,000 worth of cash and jewelry. But I can't even wrap my head around. Even if I was a millionaire, John, I could not go out and spend a $500,000 on jewelry. There is so many more awesome things I could buy, trips I could take with a $500,000 than to just go so that I could have a great big chain around my neck says, look at me and my bling.
I always have a hard time just wrapping my head around the fact that we only fucking put any value on these things because they're sparkly and they're pretty. And that's really about all. And I really don't need to be glittery. I don't give a fuck. It doesn't do anything for me except make me fucking sparkle. Big deal.
It's just like, I don't know if you ever saw the episode where Sheldon from Big Bang Theory goes, oh, yeah, diamonds. Just because somebody found some carbon with perfect something or another, they could think they can charge ridiculous amounts of money for it. He's so right.
It has its uses, you know, but for just being spangly and pretty, I couldn't give a shit. So, no, I can't relate to that. So now, the having two 20-year-old girls in my bed that might steal from me, that I can relate to. And I can tell you from many years of experience, Tom, you just don't leave them laying there. You get them up and you get them dressed and you get them on the bus.
All right, so let's move to Le'Veon Bell's old team, the Pittsburgh Steelers, where Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, like two of the most amazing weapons that team has had over the past 5 years, are both now gone.
Right.
Leaving Ben Roethlisberger there with new weapons and all kinds of, you know, just a new outlook. And Roethlisberger's excited about these new weapons.
It's been a little crazy the last few years, maybe more so than usual that we're used to dealing with. So to kind of get back to quote-unquote normalcy is kind of nice.
Normalcy. Do you mean 8-8? Is that what you mean by normalcy? Can't wait to get back to 8-8, Ben? Because that's probably about what you're looking at.
I think you're selling us way short there, Tom. I am Ben Roethlisberger, and normal for me is winning two Super Bowls.
And that's all you're going to win.
Well, you know, if anybody could win two Super Bowls in one season, it would be me, and you could know that. It is like a breath of fresh air around here, Tom. It is like a clean spring day. We have gotten rid of all of the malcontents, and it is now just me and a bunch of new weapons and a brand new contract of money for me to have.
And lose to the Browns. You're going to lose to the Browns, Ben. That's fresh and new losing to the Browns. That's what you're going to do.
Well, look, we quote-unquote prepared everybody last year by tying with them on the first week of the season, if you recall. We said, okay, now, quote-unquote, get used to this, quote-unquote, because we're going to get rid of anybody here who can play football, quote-unquote, and pay, quote-unquote, me, Ben Roethlisberger, who won, quote-unquote, two Super Bowls.
Oh, you're prepared, the fans. That's great. Well, they'll be pleased. I'm sure they're happy about that.
I have written a nursery rhyme, Tom. Would you like to hear my nursery rhyme for the day? Of course, you know I'm going to be putting out a children's book upon my retirement.
Sure.
All right, here it goes. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Mary had a little lamb. Fuck Antonio Brown. Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right.
I wrote one just like it for Le'Veon Bell, but it's just a little different. Row, row, row your boat right over Le'Veon Bell's head.
All right,
he's got two naked chicks he thinks is in his bed. So he goes downstairs to lift some weights. Oh no, they've taken his shit and hit the road.
Oh, fuck it. All right, there we go. That's enough Ben Roethlisberger out of me today, I think.
Well, Steeler fans got to love what happened to Bell.
Of course. I don't know. You know, the Jets, they're another one that look kind of dream teamy, but not too much. I think they've got some stuff that they're building with. They've got some stuff going on. I think so. They're not ready to overtake the Patriots yet.
I don't know if they're ready to overtake the Bills. I
think they probably could do that. I think their defense is going to be on par.
We'll see. We'll see how it all comes together.
Yeah, you know, Sam Darnold is up there.
So a former player from the NFL is back, John.
He's back.
You have to think about somebody who has not been part of the social media craze that has happened over the past decade.
The craze. Yeah, right.
Because if they sat in prison and didn't have access, couldn't get on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever, they don't understand this world that we've got going now. You know, this social media world. Then all of a sudden you jump into it after spending, what was O.J. Simpson was in prison for, what, 9 years?
Yeah, I think so. Just under 10 years.
Something like that. Okay, so now O.J. gets out of prison and O.J. discovers Twitter.
Hey, Twitter world, this is yours truly. Now, coming soon to Twitter, you'll get to read all my thoughts and opinions on just about everything. Now, there's a lot of fake OJ accounts out there. So this one, at the real OJ32, is the only official one. So this should be a lot of fun. I got a little getting even to do. So God bless. Take care.
Official. What? This is the only official one, John.
It's yours truly. It's yours truly. What are you looking for, OJ? You're 71 years old, for God's sakes.
Is he
seriously?
Really?
Go wow. away.
No. He gets to set the record straight now, John.
Hey, Twitter world. You know, for years, people have been able to say whatever they wanted to say about me with no accountability. But now I get to challenge a lot of that BS and set the record straight.
Oh, my God.
More importantly, I'll be able to talk about everything, especially sports, fantasy football, and even politics. But for now, let me just say to my fellow fathers out there, happy Father's Day, and God bless.
Obviously, that was Father's Day. Yeah. So he's going to get to talk about fantasy football and politics, John, and he's going to get to set the record straight on a lot of shit that people have said about him.
Well, that's good. He's going to challenge the status quo when it comes to O.J. Simpson.
He is not off to a good start. Let me tell you why.
Okay.
Okay. So a pair of videos were posted. Because what did he say? The actual OJ Twitter is the real OJ 32, his number 32, the real OJ 32. That is OJ. If you see that on Twitter, that's him. Well, there's another Twitter account called Killer OJ Simpson.
Okay? Right.
And, evidently, they found each other on Twitter.
Oh.
And Killer O.J. Simpson, he's got a, you know, like a crude doctored picture of O.J. grinning. He's holding a butcher knife and a black gloved hand. And, you know, other content on the page includes a pinned tweet of a Father's Day video that, you know, that what you just heard. But in the background, he added audio of somebody going, "Police, help, police."
All right.
So this guy posted video. He got into a Twitter discussion with OJ, and he made video of it because if he just comes out and says, yeah, this happened, you know, I don't know. I guess he made the video to verify so you could
see. He's going to prove it to the world, Tom, that OJ threatened it.
Yeah, so that you could see that it was the real OJ 32, that it was his account sending these messages to him and everything.
He's having a chat fight.
Yeah, with OJ.
Right.
But what OJ, oh my God, this is unbelievable. So in the first video that Killer OJ Simpson posts, the guy says, man, you would never guess who the hell just messaged me on Twitter in a DM. Look at this shit. So he's talking, and while he's showing you, he's like narrating as he shows you the Twitter discussion. And I would have played the audio of him, but he's not really much of a speaker. You're going to understand it better if I just tell you. And this is I'm just reading the words that he spoke in these videos and telling you what the stuff on his screen said that was coming from OJ. So he shows Simpson's account demanding that the guy delete his page. Because it's false, misleading content that OJ didn't post. That's what he said. He goes, you got to delete that. That is false, misleading content I didn't post. Well, the guy responds, and if I don't, you're going to stab me too? He says, He goes, in reality, I ain't lying. You, me, and millions know the truth. You tripping over a parody account. LOL. Welcome to Twitter, bruh.
Jesus Christ. OJ probably turned around and said, what did he just say? What the hell? Somebody tell me what this means.
Welcome to Twitter, bruh. I mean, seriously. Then Simpson says, well, his account, you know, I'm sure we're going to hear, somebody hacked his account. There's nothing you're going to do to convince me that that's true. But so Simpson's account says, like I said, delete this parody account, as you call it, or face serious consequences by me. I'll find your ass one way or another, so don't mess with me. I got nothing to lose. Grow up. Okay, you're in a Twitter war, dude, and you're telling this guy to grow up. The guy then sent an emoji of a thumbs up and a dagger, and he got back a dagger emoji. He got back 16 dagger emojis.
Jesus Christ.
He goes, look what his ass sent me. Like, for real, dude? That's crazy. So then he posts a second video about 3 hours later, and Simpson had initiated a follow-up exchange by writing, think I'm playing, motherfucker? Seen that video you posted about me. You think I'm playing? I'm tired of all your bullshit. I will find your ass and cut you. I will find your ass. Well,
this is how he learned to be in prison.
Cut you. He said, don't believe me? Just watch and see, bitch. The guy writes him back. This killer O.J. Simpson. He says, dude, there are others that literally have more followers than me and are more convincing than mine. LMAO, you gonna cut me? Awesome. Is that what you said to Nicole? The video then shows a response with a string of 16 knife emojis and the words, you next.
Good grief.
I'm like, damn. So at that point, I'm going, this is really OJ? And I'm looking at this video going, it is, man. I can see this happening. It's him.
It's a chat fight.
So the guy, I know, but this is OJ going, I will cut you and sending dagger emojis. Are you fucking kidding me? You can't write this.
Hey, remember we used to rile him up for fun.
My God. Then the guy says, this is actually funny to me. And a message from Simpson's account says, you just wait. I'm going to blast your ass all over Twitter. Well, I mean,
oh,
what?
No. Gee whiz. You're going to fucking blast. I wonder if OJ has any clue what will happen if he did that.
Well, I mean, the guy, again, this goes back to what I was saying about OJ not understanding the social media world, that this shit's all over these parody accounts or,
right,
you know, all this kind of stuff. So a spokeswoman for the Nevada Department of Public Safety, because OJ, oh, by the way, whether you know it or not, OJ's just living the most wonderful life in Vegas, playing golf all the time and just enjoying himself. Right. Still looking for the killer on a golf course. But the spokeswoman for the Nevada Department of Public Safety said that Simpson was still on parole and that the Division of Parole and Probation takes threats or acts of violence against public safety very seriously and is looking into the alleged complaints.
They're going to put him back in prison.
Oh, my God. Under Nevada law, knowingly threatening to cause bodily injury in the future to the person threatened is outlawed as harassment and is punishable as a misdemeanor for a first offense.
Mr. Simpson, we're going to violate your parole for these little cartoon images of knives that you've transmitted across the internet.
Well, so his lawyer, Simpson's lawyer, Malcolm confirmed the authenticity of Simpson's Twitter account and told CNN he will not be negative, nor will he comment on the LA thing. It will be one of the best accounts on Twitter to follow.
Many people are saying that I'm the most murderous motherfucker on Twitter.
See, now it should be a game out there, people. Here's what we do. Now everybody should try to see if we can beat the record. He got 16. Is that what you said? 16 dagger emojis?
Yeah.
Now you see if you can get OJ to give you 18 or 20.
I doubt
see
it.
How far you can go.
Somebody's got to tell him, dude, you cannot do this, I'm sure. I'm going to wait and see what happens with the Nevada investigation.
He'll turn right around to them and say, you better shut up, I will cut you.
I mean, really? You really said I will cut you and sent daggers? Oh, my God. But now, here's where I wonder if it's really OJ, because I'm like, could OJ even find the dagger icon emoji? I mean, has he got somebody sitting there with him? Yo, man, where's this dagger? I want to send him 16 knives.
Yeah, right. No, not the one with the clown face. I don't want the one with the clown face. Just give me the one with just the knife.
Maybe some dude's typing for him while he's sitting there saying, all right, say this. You know, I don't know. I don't know.
Man, that was 14 daggers and a peach slice. What the hell's the matter with you? There's like 10 million of those things. A rocket ship? God. I don't want to send nobody to the moon. I want a knife.
Oh, I just couldn't believe that. Unreal. Unreal.
It is real. The whole fucking world has gone crazy, man. This country's gone stupidly crazy. Case in point. When you're ready for email, you let me know. You're going to love this.
Oh, my gosh. I am. Let's do it. What's going on in email?
We got one email that's not out of date. This is what happens when we don't do a show for a while. Nobody knows when we're going to send one. And there's no news for anybody really to write us about.
We just gave you a ton of news. What are you talking about?
We just did. Jeffrey, the NFL is rigged. Change my mind.
What?
That's what he writes us. The NFL is rigged. Change my mind.
Well, I'm going to say you're the accuser. You got to change our mind.
No, no. That's not how things work anymore, Tom. Yeah, proving a negative is exactly how you're supposed to defend yourself.
No. You accuse me of something. If you accuse me of something and take me to court, you got to prove it in court, or I did nothing wrong.
See, you are just now 5 seconds ago explaining how OJ really needs to learn how the world works. Come on now, dude. You know better than that. All right. For one thing, I think anybody that says change my mind has no intention of changing their mind.
Well, I think he's open to discussion. That's what it sounds like. And here's what I'm going to the one thing. I mean, we can go round and round about to fix things. You need, you know, we've talked about it. You need all these people to keep their mouth shut. And that's impossible. People have to talk. They can't do it. But look at the mess with the NBA refs that went on. You know,
right.
You can't keep a few refs couldn't keep their mouths shut. Are you kidding?
Right.
But the biggest thing to me is when you say it's rigged, are we talking about like just certain games? You got to get, when you say rigged, I'm saying, in my mind, you're telling me that they're deciding the outcome of the Super Bowl champion every year. What we're talking about here? Is that what I'm being asked to disprove or change his mind?
Well, I'll tell you what, I don't know whether this guy comes from these areas or not, but on the Facebook pages that I follow, like Longest Yard, and any given Sunday, these guys over there, a lot of them that talk about rig do. They think that the NFL is set up so that the Patriots win. And it's like,
oh, that's great. Okay, great, great. I'm glad that's where I know. So what I need to know is when you say change your mind, I think just by asking you this simple question, we'll do it. What is the NFL's motivation? Because the only reason to rig any sport is for money and for profit. And I don't believe you're helping the NFL make more money by putting the fucking Patriots in the AFC Championship and possibly the Super Bowl every single year. If you're rigging it for the, why? What is the motivation behind that?
Right.
This last Super Bowl did not have the ratings, did not have the viewers of the past Super Bowls before it.
And we all know the NFL is about nothing but rating.
Right. I mean, that's where your money comes from. Advertisers pay a dollar amount based on a rating point. And the higher number of points, the more dollars they have to spend to advertise. So I don't believe that putting the same Patriots team. People are sick of the Patriots outside of Boston. They're sick of them.
Oh, they think that the government's involved, Tom. And I tell you what, I've had people tell me that the government is involved because they think it engenders patriotism. It's about all this fucking flag waving bullshit and everything like that, because they have found out that the NFL takes money from the military for these flyovers, and why not to just go to the extra mile? And it's ridiculous. For one, all these things that Tom is saying, you're right. What do they have to gain? We already happily hand them billions of dollars.
Yeah.
We can't wait to give it to them for whatever they give us. Here's a new fucking hat that you just got from last month. Here's another new hat. Oh, right. Fucking A, I need one.
Right.
Here's six different jersey designs for the season. Get one in your favorite player. They're all $250 a piece. We happily do this. So there is nothing extra to be gained. You know, what's $1 billion as opposed to $1.1 billion as opposed to the risk? All they have to do is play the games. They don't need to rig anything.
Look at baseball. All right. It's not rigged in the fact that somebody's trying to help teams win, but it's rigged basically because certain teams can spend so much more money than other teams, and they're always in the hunt every year because, the Yankees and the Phillies and the Dodgers and the Red Sox, they have so much more money than the Pirates or the Reds, who constantly mold these great players and lose them to those teams. And you look at those bad teams that are bad every year, and halfway through the season, there's only a couple thousand people in the stands at their games. You know, that's what you would have in the NFL, I believe, if you were rigging the games.
I had a dude tell me last week, I mean, aside from trying to appeal to the logic of the money of it, it's impossible. It's impossible. Impossible to rig an NFL season. It's impossible. How many people need to know about it, you think? This guy told me, well, all the refs and the higher-ups. All right, so that means all 32 owners, the Goodell and the refs.
Cannot keep their mouth shut. Not all of them. No way.
That's 160 fucking people. Are you kidding me?
No way.
And they're just going to change out 10 of them this year, so there's 170 people. And all of them are not going to be fired because everything's good. No, it's stupid. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
And then when one gets fired, what are you going to do? Well, we'll give you 2 years of severance pay if you sign this non-disclosure agreement so you can't go out and tell people that it was rigged.
You can't blow the lid off the biggest fucking sports scandal in the history of the world.
Come on.
Right.
Come on.
All right. Right. So, Jeffrey, it's not on us to change your mind. Your father should have done that a long time ago. Somebody should hit you.
Well, again, I mean, you said change your mind. My question to change your mind is, what is their motivation to rig things? What? Why? For what reason? You cannot tell me it's for money because it's anti.
They already make enough. Right. Why risk it? It's the golden goose.
The more different teams that win the Super Bowl, the more the fans are glued from all the teams. You know what I mean?
Right. You don't send dagger emojis at the Golden Goose.
If you're going to do that, you're going to want the Rams and the Jets and all the big cities. You want them all in. You know why are the Chiefs so good? You know who cares? You know why you don't want the Panthers being good? You're not going to have them there. These aren't big TV markets. You know, you're going to want Dallas, Miami, you know, Philly, Washington,
right.
New York, LA, San Francisco, those are the teams that would be in the playoffs every year if that's what they were doing this for.
Right. And it doesn't matter because it doesn't matter who's playing. It doesn't matter whether Green Bay with the smallest fan base or locale is playing against a fucking Tampa Bay team that's won two games. You know, they're 2-9. People tune in and they watch.
Right.
We give them their money. We give it to them. They don't need to fucking rig anything.
If my team's,
it's just stupid.
If my team's 0-14... in December, I'm still watching their last two games.
Right. Me too.
You know.
See what the hell they got for next year.
You know.
Yell at something.
Right.
You know. Get my weekly mad on. That's about it. It's impossible. Jeffrey, you're a moron.
No, he's not a moron because, look, that pops into people's heads all the time when you see the blown call in the Saints-Rams game. The, you know, the non-call for interference. People go, this has got to be fixed. They want L.A. in there because they just moved to L.A. You know, and it's like, okay, man, it's just a... Come on.
Yeah, just even think of that.
I get why it seeps into people's minds, but I got to go back to tell me what the motivation is.
Well, aside from that, just think about the fucking a football game. How do you get it to funnel down to that? How do you control that? You can't control that.
Yeah.
That's one of the other things about a season. You're going to say, okay, we're going to get the Patriots are going to win the season. Okay, and somebody in fucking week one rolls up on Tom Brady, and that's that. Right?
Right.
Bye.
Right.
Okay, so exactly. No, you can't. It's a bad investment for anybody that's thinking they're going to rig it.
Yeah.
Simple as that. So, Jeffrey, change your mind.
And that's our only email?
That's the email that I got. I don't feel like looking at on Facebook, although I know a couple of people did. Mr. Tilliard did want us to discuss Game of Thrones, and we did promise that we were going to discuss it, but we have run long.
We are discussing Game of Thrones.
Okay.
We are going to talk about this.
Okay.
All right. So... I started watching, the end of March, beginning of April?
Yeah.
Beginning of April.
Yeah, right before it was over.
Never saw it. Had everybody telling me what an amazing show was. Didn't have HBO. That's really the biggest reason I wasn't watching it, because I wasn't paying for HBO, because it just...
Right.
I didn't watch enough movies, have enough time for it to be worth it. Yeah. But as much as I heard about
it... That was why I paid for it, was Game of Thrones.
Right. Well, that's why I got... So I went and got HBO. I talked to my wife. She was like... When we first were talking about it, she was like, you know, she's not into, like, medieval type stuff. And I'm like... I talked to some other people, and I said, well, let's... You know, we had the first season on DVD. We actually had this. Somebody gave me the first season on DVD. And we had watched the first two episodes a long time ago, and then we went, okay... And we just never got back around to it. And I said, well, I'll tell you what. Let's watch the entire first season. And then if we want, we'll get HBO and we'll finish it. We started watching. Right. We started watching. And we, you know, that was where, you know, Daenerys got her brother, gave her to Drogon so that he could get his army and go back to Westeros and take back his, you know, rightful spot on the Iron Throne. And And that all got turned around on him because he no longer had any power over his sister because she now belonged to Drogon, and Drogon didn't even like him anyway. And in episode 6 of season 1, Viserys said, I want my gold crown. And Drogon said, I'm going to give you a gold crown that any man in this world would want. And he threw some gold coins in that in the bowl above the fire, and the gold melted, and he had this pot of boiling gold, and he dumped it over Viserys's head, and he's like, there's your gold crown. It killed him instantly. And Daenerys goes, I knew he wasn't a dragon. Dragons don't burn. And I went, that was it. You would never have gotten me to stop watching at that point.
See, I got the version that was approved by the American Dental Association, in which the gold crown is actually a nice piece of work that he gives him. It's a little bit of bridge work that he gives him. He says, has a seat right there in the horse throne, tells him to please open his mouth. And, you know, after a couple of hammers with one of those freaking big-ass spears that they have, they put the crown in place. It looks nice. He goes on to be king, and everything's nice.
Well, so, you know, Daenerys went from being traded to Drogon. Basically, it seemed like she was his slave, and he just, you know, bent her over and had sex with her whenever he wanted, and she didn't like it. And then she had a girl teach her how, she said, you have sex like a wife, not like a slave, and taught her. And then she started getting on top of it. And they fell deeply in love. They were, one was the one's son, the other one, she called him my moon and stars and all this. And oh my God, they were going to rule. They were going to go.
Because he got a blowjob.
They were going to go to Westeros, and they were going to take over Westeros and King's Landing, and she was going to sit on the Iron Throne, and that's where it started. And then he died at the end, and she took his body and burned him. But she, when she got married, one of the gifts she got was 3 dragon eggs, and she went into the fire with him. And when the fire all burned out, there she was with her 3 hatched dragons. So that was the beginning of Daenerys's adventure to rule Westeros. And so that, and man, oh my God, I love those dragons. So anyway, what I want to know, I'm not going to sit here and give out the whole show. I mean, if you watched it, you're listening, and you saw the show, we're not going to.
But everybody anyway, on planet Earth watched it, yes.
So that first season, man, I was like, yeah, we're in. So we went and got HBO, and that was the gist of that. Now, all that shit happened. What I wanted to know from you, who was your favorite character or characters?
I had a lot of favorite characters, because they did. They came and went so much. Oh my and there God. Were times that they were good characters, and then they didn't turn into be such good characters that were, you know, bad characters later on down. I always liked Bronn, the sellsword. Yes. I always thought he was pretty cool. Yes. I always liked the Hound.
Yes.
After Joffrey, the Hound was much better. After Joffrey finally was gone and the Hound could get away from being Joffrey's dog, you know, that was much better. But Arya Stark, obviously, you liked her.
Joffrey's death was one of my all-time favorites in the show.
It was terrific.
When he got poisoned.
It was terrific.
That was fantastic.
Every one of her kids died, it was really nice.
Well, and she knew they were going to die. Although, I tell you, when she blew up that, I don't know what you want to call it, the Capitol building? I mean, where
the Sept.
The Sept, yeah, where the High Sparrow was, where they were conducting their big meeting, his future wife, and everybody. Or no, everybody Tommen's wife. Marjorie was with Tommen at that point, the new king, who replaced Joffrey, his little brother. And Tommen, and you know, she got that wildfire, which, by the way, the Battle of Blackwater, when they blew up the ships with the wildfire, was one of the most amazing scenes in the whole show. But then she used the wildfire to blow up the Sept, and Tommen saw it blow up, and he knew Marjorie was in there, so he, you know, who she made him head over heels in love with her. And he just walks over to the window and jumps out and kills himself.
Sure.
I did not see that coming. That blew me away.
Neither did the guy down on the sidewalk. That was a mess.
Oh, my lord, it's my lord.
But the whole time, you know, Cersei said, she said, the fortune teller told her she would have 3 kids and they would all die, and they did. Because her daughter ended up dying, got poisoned too, from the bitch at Dorne.
Yeah.
The widow of Prince Oberyn, you know, who was killed by
Lady
the mountain.
Brienne.
Lady Brienne of Tar was great.
The Dornes, they didn't really freaking explore them as well as they could. I thought that the killing the scorpion was one of the ones I didn't see coming. I didn't see that coming.
Nope.
The mountain rolled over and crushed him. I didn't see that coming.
And then they brought the mountain back as something unhuman, which is
Franken Mountain,
which is the Hound's brother. You know.
The final battle between those two was pretty fucking cool. There was a really good scene where they're smashing it out on the goddamn steps and the dragon flies over in the background with all the fire going off. That was just badass.
It was epic. And you know, after the long night, when he started to head back to King's Landing, and here come Arya following him, he's like, where are you going? She goes, I'm going to King's Landing. He says, why? She goes, to kill the queen. And he goes, oh, okay. And I looked at my wife and I said, she's not going to get to kill the queen before he kills his brother. You knew he was going back for that final battle with his brother. It was great.
It would have been nice if he'd have given her the elbow right in the ear when she tried to walk by, though.
My favorite character, without a doubt, was Tyrion. He had me laughing the entire damn show. You know, yeah. Tyrion is Peter Dinklage. He is a midget, a little person, a dwarf, whatever. They called him an imp.
Thank
they
you.
Call him an
really?
Imp.
That's not special effects.
I know. I'm saying this like people who haven't seen the show, but anyway.
In the Avengers, he's like 20 feet tall. He is. You see him in Avengers, right? He's in Avengers. He plays the dwarf, but the dwarf is 20 feet tall.
Right. He's a giant dwarf. Right.
Right. Right.
But he was my favorite. Arya was probably my second favorite. But like you, I love the Hound. I love Brienne. And when those two had their fight, I was really upset because I'm like, this is terrible. One of them's going to die because I kind of just wanted them to like flank Arya as her bodyguards everywhere she went. I thought that would have been awesome, you know?
Right.
But so, yeah. And I the dragons and Dany, you know, I love them. Jon Snow was cool, but, you know.
He was all right, but Jesus Christ, man. You know, he always had that look on his face like somebody farted. The whole show.
The whole show. He never... You know who else?
Good God, Sam.
The Hound is another one who never, ever broke character. Ever.
No.
He was the same character from beginning to end. He was great. A lot of great actors. Yep. Tyrion was a great actor. Dany was a great actress. Cersei's a phenomenal actress. You know, it was crazy... We were watching TV a couple weeks ago, and you know the movies, The Purge, those movies?
Yeah.
Where they have the one day a year where there's no crime, you can do whatever you want. Well, in the very first movie, the original movie, The Purge, did you see it?
No.
It centers around this one family in this one house, and the guy there, he sells security defenses to everybody in his neighborhood, and he got rich doing it, you know, just for the Purge night. His wife is Cersei, has a cold black hair.
Wow.
She has a cold black hair, and I said to my wife, that's Cersei. She goes, yeah, it is. It was, and I'm like, oh, that's different. And she was actually the best actress in the whole damn movie. So, but that makes sense. So, but a lot of great acting, great writing. Unless you ask people about the final season, because they did the final season without a book. The book was still being written, but. R.R. Martin, who wrote the book, told them what was going to happen so that they could, you know, follow the storyline. They just didn't have all the details and the actual quotes and the words from the characters that he wrote. They had to do their own writing, and people complained. And it was also only 6 episodes. They said everything was too rushed. I kind of get that. No, but for me, I got to watch the whole thing from beginning to end. So I didn't have to wait 2 years for the final season and then watch week to week. It was all one long giant adventure. You know what I mean? For me,
there were so many great scenes too.
Oh my God.
There were so many great scenes. Dude, the scene where Jon Snow is out on the battlefield by himself and they fucking rush him and everybody piles on top and the whole screen goes black while he's fighting.
Yeah.
I couldn't fucking breathe.
I know.
I wouldn't watch that again if you paid me $1 to watch it again because it made me so fucking uncomfortable. But the scene when the Lannisters are going back to the castle and they're hauling back the fucking gold that they took from River Run and the dragon shows up.
Yeah.
And just blasts them. That is what the Redskins defensive line is going to fucking look like this year, baby.
Oh,
boom! We're coming for some quarterbacks!
Jesus Christ. Here we go.
I just loved it.
Oh my God.
They're going to lead the lead in sacks. You watch.
Oh my God.
Okay. You're laughing.
I'll tell
you what. I thought that was pretty cool. The Dragons... They were really good, but I thought that the second dragon got completely wasted. I don't understand why she just flew over the ships and let them shoot it, when you could see in the very next episode that all she has to do is go around behind the ships and come up and boom, they're gone.
But she wasn't flying it. She was flying on Drogon. She wasn't flying on Viserion?
Whatever its name was, they just kind of paraded it out over top of those boats and they shot it.
Rhaegar, I can never remember. I'll say their names, except for Drogon.
Yeah.
You
know.
Drogon.
Just come from behind.
Drogon was badass. You talk about he was the alpha dragon. There was no question about that. And watching him grow up, like when they were on the ship, when they were traveling on the ship.
Yeah, that was cool.
And it was just the second season. And he flies off. You know, the dragons are just kind of following. She's on the ship. They're sailing. And the dragons are just following mom. And all of a sudden, Drogon dives into the water, grabs his giant fish in his mouth, comes flying up in the air, throws the fish in the air, breathes fire on it to cook it, and then catches it and eats it. I'm like, I want one. I got to have my own dragon, damn it.
You know what I was thinking when I was watching those kinds of scenes was, what if I'm like, you know, a Dothraki just rank and file soldier whose entire life was out there on the grass, and now I'm out here on this ship and I'm watching that. Holy fuck.
I'm like, well, I've come. I'm in a different place now is what I'd say.
Oh, man, Jesus Christ. I would have been, I don't know. You know, how do you even process something like that? That's ridiculous. But yeah, what a great show. I thought it was a lot of fun. And now I'm getting ready to get rid of HBO because there's really nothing coming up that I really want to watch. Everybody said Chernobyl was good. I really didn't care for it that much.
Oh, did you watch
it? You still got it. Watch Deadwood. It was good. The movie wasn't so good, though.
You did watch Chernobyl because I heard it's phenomenal.
I started into it for about two episodes and just couldn't get it. Just couldn't get into it. That happens. I've never gotten through Breaking Bad either. Everybody thinks I'm crazy, but I just can't get past like middle of season two.
Yeah. You were talking about some of the amazing scenes. When the first dragon, when they went to the north of the wall and found the army of the dead and the White Walkers, and the Night King.
They shot the one down?
He threw the glowing white spear and killed the first dragon, and it went into the water. My wife goes, this is a big problem. And it didn't hit me right away that he was going to bring it back and it was going to be a White Walker dragon that he would ride, that the Night King would ride. And when he rode that dragon and it took out the wall, that was, one of the greatest scenes of anything I've ever seen.
That was pretty
incredible.
Cool.
Incredible.
I'll give it that.
And the whole long night. My God, what a war.
Mm-hmm.
And the way it ended when Arya came flying out of there and he turned around and grabbed her by the neck. She drops a knife and stabs the Night King. Now, my son was pissed. My son has a statue on his desk of the Night King sitting on the Iron Throne. He was rooting for the Night King all the way. He wanted everybody would be dead and then everybody would be alive.
Well, yeah, that's true. They'll be back. See, to me, I thought that they could have played. That was the one part of the final season that I didn't really like, was that they played out the whole Army of the Dead fast, too fast. Because I can definitely understand that the mop up of the Lannisters and the rest of them at the end is an episode at the most. But give me at least two episodes with the war, two or three episodes with that war. That's a huge part of the entire story. That's the whole point of all of it.
It was an hour and a half. It was an hour and a half, that episode.
Yeah, but maybe 2 hour and a half episodes. The whole final season, everybody says it was only six episodes, but they were all long.
The last four were over an hour. But here's what I was thinking, because, you know, that was another thing. Season seven's only seven episodes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So all the other ones before that were 10 episodes. So if you took those seven and you added the first three of season eight, your season finale would have been The Long Night.
Yeah.
Okay, that would have been episode 10 of season 7 if you kept going 10 episodes at a time. Then you could have made the whole final season, even if you only wanted to make it six episodes, could have been their march to King's Landing, and you know, and you could have spread that out more. Man, Cersei deserved a much better death. Even the actress who played Cersei said she deserved a more dramatic death than that.
To have the whole castle fall in on top of her?
Pretty good. Oh, and the whole castle didn't even fall in. If they'd have moved 10 feet to the right, they would have lived. That was what was ridiculous.
I know. That was like Jamie's fault, that stupid idiot.
You know, and there's another dude. Here's a guy that I hated in the beginning. You know, he pushes Bran out the window in season one, and I'll never forget. That was such a great, that it came full circle, was when he said, the things you do for love, and then shoved Bran out the window. And then when Bran was back and he was at Winterfell standing before them all, Bran looks at him and said, yeah, the things you do for love. And I was like, oh my God. Of course, he was already the three-eyed raven then.
Which just petered out into nothing.
Well, it did become the reason why he became king, because he knew everything that happened, so they felt like he could make the best decisions for the world. So
I suppose.
Who did you want to see sitting on the throne at the end?
I didn't really care. You know, at that point, I'd give it to Bronn. What the hell, man?
Bronn? That's my boy. Not Bran. Bronn. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I would have been fine with Tyrion. I would have loved to have seen Tyrion get it. I would have been fine with Jon Snow. I would have been fine with Jon Snow and Daenerys being king and queen. I would have been fine with them being king and queen, but Dany really would be the one in charge because she is the Targaryen. She is the dragon, and
she has a dragon. Mm-hmm. And but that was the thing, is Jon Snow, you know, the first time, remember when Jon Snow first like got up close face to face with Drogon, and he was cool to him and let him pet him and everything. And I went, wow, Drogon, you know, cause dragons are really smart, as we learned from Tyrion. And, you know, one of the things I thought was, wow, Drogon knows that he's okay. He knows that Dany loves him. So he's going to protect him too. Turns out he was Targaryen. I was like, well, holy shit.
I thought it was kind of cool on the last episode when he comes walking in to the to where the Iron Throne is, and the dragon is under that pile of debris and kind of gets up like the guard dog and looks at him.
Yeah, right. And then when he got mad when he killed Dany, and the dragon wanted to fucking torch him, he knew it wouldn't affect him, knew it wouldn't burn him.
He blew up the thing that freaking caused it all.
So he said, well, if she can't have it, nobody can, and he wipes out the Iron Throne and took off flying with her dead body. And now we got spinoffs coming. The very first one is going to happen. So I'm keeping HBO because there's five so far that are in the works. One is done, and that is going to go back thousands of years to see how it all began with the White Walkers.
Oh, okay. Why not?
Yeah. What the fuck? The only one they haven't announced one. I wish they would do one. You know, Arya's her ending is she goes. You know where the map ends? That's where I'm going. Mm-hmm. She wants to see what's beyond the world that they know. She wants to, you know, keep going. I would like to see a spinoff of that. What happens with her?
She goes to America and she becomes Martha Washington.
And I would also like to see Jon Snow. He's probably going to become the king north of the wall now, you know?
Yeah, oh yeah, he's definitely already the king of the north.
See him and Tormund together would be great, man. That'd be a great show, you know, in the Wildlings.
Hell yeah.
I mean, and here's the Wildlings. All they wanted to do was get past the wall and go back to their land. And once they did, they didn't like it. They went back north.
They just wanted to be safe from all the zombies. So. Okay.
Anyway, if you've never watched and you were thinking about it and you listened to this, well, we spoiled a ton of shit for you. But you know what? Go watch anyway, because we're watching it again.
Right.
We started we're watching talking it
to those
again.
People outside of the billion people that watched it.
Right. So, yeah. I really like Drogon. Drogon was and the Dire Wolves. The Dire Wolves were awesome. I would like to have I would like to have my own Dire Wolf and my own dragon.
I'm serious though, when he destroyed the armies, that's what I thought. It was, look at that, there's Jonathan Allen smashing through the center of the line.
Okay John's gonna pick him again this year, folks. Get ready for it.
They paid Carson Wentz a lot of money to beat up the first target this fucking year.
Yeah. Oh, Aaron Rodgers didn't. You know, Aaron Rodgers got to be in one of the episodes in the final season of Game of Thrones. He's a huge fan.
Yeah, he
of
got
the
roasted.
Show. Yeah, and he didn't like the finale. He's like, "Come on, man, this is what we waited for." And I'm like, "Jesus, dude, you just got to be in an episode. Shut up,
dude. You lost in the playoffs, right? Well, you didn't even make the playoffs. You think people were happy with your finale? Shut up. You know, every year, other than win the Super Bowl, you only done that once. So you know, you fail every other year. Shut up."
Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, training camps open up in a month, so we'll be back in a month, and we'll have a Hall of Fame induction, and it's just here we come, folks.
Yeah, man, it's getting ready to get started back up.
And John's getting ready to pick the Redskins again.
Drogon's coming through.
All right, we'll do it again next time.
Later. You got something to say? Email bangradiohour@gmail.com or follow us on Twitter @bangradiohour and on the Bang Radio Hour Facebook page. Subscribe to the Bang Radio Hour YouTube channel for new Bang cartoons. And please consider becoming a patron of the show by going to bangradiohour.com and clicking the patron button. You can help us defer costs of bringing you this podcast and Bang cartoons for about the price of a cup of coffee. We appreciate your support.
And as Eli with the interception to seal the launch. Very good, Eli.
You've been listening to the Bang Radio Hour.
Mein lieber Schwan hat der einen abgekriegt.
Listen to me.
Bang Radio.
Wait, don't.
I only can control what I can control. I mean, there's not much I can control. It's out of my control now.
We have reason to believe that control may have been infiltrated.
Oh my God!
Oh, Troy. I'm so sorry.
Oh, my God!
Paying a whole lot of that shit right there, yo.
You don't have to spend a lot of time kind of circumcising the mosquito.
At Tesco, we can pop our pasta in your Astra, our Red Leicester in your Fiesta, or our Mayo in your Mondeo. All you need to do is try click and collect. Just go to Tesco.com, order your shopping, then click and collect. With the minimum basket spend now only £25. And if you fancy something a little more exotic, we can even put our Pad Thai in your cash kai. Try click and collect at Tesco.com. Every little helps. Selected larger stores, booking charge may apply. See online for full terms and conditions.
Hello, 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 peoples of UK. If you always get same boring meal deal, or your mouth water when microwave go ping, then you commit crimes against cooking. So thank goodness for Meerkat Meals. Dine out with 2-for-1 on food at your local favourites, like Handmade Burger Co. and Frankie and Benny's. All with the Meerkat app when you buy, so compare the market. Ooh, lunch is ready. I'll get my coat.
Qualifying purchase, 2-for-1 on equivalent starters, mains and desserts, a la carte only, Sunday to Thursday, T's and C's and exclusions apply.